Your Bibles this morning, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Obviously, we are in the Christmas season, so a lot of messages centered around the birth of Christ, the coming of the Lord and Savior. Just give me a second. I got to stop thinking about Dylan singing. Him and Tyler used to sing a lot together. And obviously when Dylan got his cancer going through treatment and stuff, obviously he didn't sing a lot, at least not here behind the pulpit. But then to just see him up here doing a solo, you know, things can be could be different in your life right now. Consider yourself blessed where you're at in life right now. It may not be exactly what you want, but praise the Lord that you are where you're at and you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you hear his voice as he speaks to you. And the fact that even though he allows hard things in our life, he will always see you through it. He'll always be your comfort. He will always be your joy. He will fill your heart and soul with peace, unspeakable peace that the only way to explain it is with one word, Jesus. So God is good. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. As we look at the gift of joy this morning, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Father, we do thank you again for the morning you've given us, and thank you, Father, Lord, for just the privilege of hearing the songs that speak of Jesus Christ. And Father, the fact that we do have a Redeemer, we have a Savior, we have a friend. And Father, we thank you for the relationship that we have with you. And Father, may we never forget the fact that we have a relationship with an Almighty God, Creator of the heaven and the earth, the one who has given us the very life that we have. Lord, gave us the opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would continue, Lord, to speak to our hearts through this morning. I pray, Father, that you would guide us according to your will. Speak to the hearts of children and junior church just like you did in Sunday school. I pray, Father, every single person in this building, their hearts would be drawn to you. Father, that we would know that there is a God in heaven who loves us, who will never leave us nor forsake us, who's always there for us, who's always there to help us, to lift us up when we fall down, to encourage us when we're discouraged. Lord, to fill us with your peace when we're saddened, to comfort us. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, may we be able to faithfully follow you and faithfully trust you because you are a faithful, trustworthy God, and we thank you for it. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're very familiar with these shepherds in Acts chapter, or Luke chapter 2. We're very familiar with this account. This morning, I want us just to think about the gift of joy that comes. Because even when there may be sorrow in a person's life, there can still be joy. Even when we are tempted to fear, there can still be joy. Because in verse number 10, the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." And on that night, the angel did bring a message of great joy, because that message of great joy was about the joy giver, Jesus Christ. And no doubt when they came to the stable and they looked in that manger and they saw the child Jesus, they saw the baby Jesus laying there, no doubt their hearts were full of joy because they went about telling everybody what they saw and what they were told. And may that be what we do throughout our life, having that joy in our life, because not only have we seen Christ in our life, but Christ is a part of our life because we put our faith and trust in Him, and our life has been changed, our life has been helped, and we know that we're on our way to heaven. We know there's a God in heaven that knows us by name, knows us inside and out, wants to fellowship with us, wants us to come into His presence through prayer, wants us to fellowship with Him through His Word, so that we get to know Him even better and we're drawn closer to Him. Again, when you think about these shepherds, what a wonderful time this must have been for them. Again, I don't know if there's probably been a time in your life where you were startled. You were just kind of minding your own business, maybe having a quiet time, maybe just relaxing, and something startled you, whether it was a child like me. Sometimes I'm just laying in the bed, relaxing, trying to go to sleep, and all of a sudden I have some little girl jump on me, you know, not expecting it, wanting me to pray with them, tell them goodnight. Just, you know, there's times in your life where you've been startled. You know, oh, okay, everything's okay. But can you imagine on this particular night, the shepherds are just going through their routine like they normally do, making sure the sheep are okay, making sure there's no predators around lurking about, getting ready to snatch one of their lambs or anything. And they're just minding their own business. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. In verse number 9, "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I'd be afraid too. Just out of the midst of nowhere, this angel, first it's pitch black. The stars are out, you know, right? The moon might have been out. It might have been a little light, you know. Your eyes adjust to the darkness, but all of a sudden, the glory of God shones round about you. I mean, you talk about last night, you know, we had the lights off, we had candles lit, but then Sandra flipped the lights on to play games, and you know, it was like, whoa, you know, hello light, you know, your eyes have to get readjusted. But again, just, it was a marvelous, wonderful night, but not a night they were expecting. Not a night that they were expecting, but boy, when it was all said and done, they go back to the fields, they go back to what they were doing, more joyous than ever before. Their occupation seemed a lot happier to them. Them having to spend the night out in the fields watching other sheep, I'm sure it seemed, you know, not a mundane thing anymore. It wasn't something to look down upon. I mean, they were excited because God chose them first to come and see the child Jesus. God chose the shepherds. And the shepherds, again, you know, they were not well liked. Nobody really wanted them in the town because they stunk. They smelled like sheep. They spent their life just with sheep. And they were just another group of men that were kind of looked down upon, you know, the low caste people. And yet God thought highly of them. Number one, because of their occupation, being a shepherd was obviously symbolized what the great shepherd would do. The great shepherd obviously leading his flock, providing for his flock, feeding his flock, caring for his flock, protecting his flock, just like a shepherd would do with literal sheep. But again, they were also symbolized just the fact they were ordinary men. God came to save sinners. Remember, Jesus was questioned why he would eat with sinners and publicans, and Jesus said that he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. He came to be among sinners, to show sinners that they were loved by an almighty God when others would not love them and despise them. These shepherds obviously signified the fact that God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. God wants to be a part of every single person's life. God wants to be the joy in someone's life. God wants to be a person's comfort. God wants to be a person's peace. And he has sent the gift of Jesus Christ into this world to meet the need of every single person and to let every single person know in this world that they are loved, that they are accepted in the Beloved. If they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they are accepted, and God went out of his way. It's wonderful that God goes out of his way for people. Some people won't go out of their way. If it's an inconvenience, they're not going to do it sometimes. But God goes out of his way to be able to bring the shepherds a great message. And looking at verse 8 and 9, we just see that the announcement of the angel was a very compelling message to these, a very compelling message to these shepherds. Look at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid, but yet they were given a very wonderful message. They were startled. They were common men. And I want us to understand that God has always been moving and working in the hearts of men and women throughout world history. He's always been bringing a very special message to people to draw them unto himself. But not only was this message compelling, but it was a comforting message, because in verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Again, God's message is a compelling message, but it's a comforting message. Comforting to know that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, not only to die for the sins of the world, but to bring comfort into the hearts of people, to bring comforts into the hearts of those that are saddened, those that are disheartened. God is all about comforting his people. Look at verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." It was a very compelling message. It was a very comforting message, and it was a very comprehensive message. The message was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the center of the message. He is the one that came to bring peace into the world. And again, some people might think, well, if he came to bring peace, why is there still wars? Why is there still so much evil and hatred into the world? All that will change in one day. That day is coming. But he came the first time to bring peace into the lives of people. People are looking for peace. People are looking for an answer to life, and he is the Prince of Peace. He is the answer to life. He is the fulfillment of God's word. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. He is the one that completes every one of us. Every person is born with an emptiness that only he can fill. Every single person is born with an emptiness that only Jesus Christ can fill. And once he fills that emptiness, there is true joy. There is joy in the midst of a storm, because you have the master of the storm with you in that boat. As I think about Peter and the others on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a storm, and Jesus is in the boat with them, and they were so frantic and trying their best to bail water out, trying their best to do what they could. And then in their failure, in their desperation, they cried out to the Lord and said, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" And the Lord stands up, and the Lord kind of rebukes them for their lack of faith. But even though he rebukes them for their lack of faith, "Oh, ye of little faith," yet he still calmed the storm. He still calmed the storm. Because you know what? The Lord knows. The Lord knows where our weakness is. The Lord knows that our faith needs to continue to strengthen. And the Lord is always there to help us. He came into this world to bring joy, to bring peace. And we can have that joy and peace in the midst of a storm. Now, when you think about verses 11 and 12, you think about this message that they were given, Christ obviously being the center of the message, Christ being the object of that night, the one that was born, the one that was promised, the one that was prophesied that a virgin would give birth, the one that said that his name is Emmanuel, God with us, that he is Jesus Christ, he's the Savior of the world. When you look at the fact that they're told that they're to go down into Bethlehem, I mean, the location was fulfilled where Christ would be born. Kind of talked about that, I believe it was on Sunday night, but in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." The fact that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, he is God, Emmanuel, God with us. The fact that he is from everlasting, Bethlehem was not his beginning. Bethlehem was a place chosen for him to be robed in flesh, to come into the world he created, to live a life that you and I live, to be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He fulfilled what we could not, a perfect sinless life. The fact that Jesus Christ, the giver of life, the creator of the world, was subject to Mary and Joseph. You find that when he's 12 years old in the temple, and he's talking with the Pharisees, he's talking with the religious rulers, and discussing scripture and things, and they were just confounded. They were just startled, and somewhat confused that this young boy at 12 years old had such wisdom. They didn't realize they were speaking to God, who is wisdom, and the fact that Jesus makes himself subject to the parental guidance of Mary and Joseph, and yet he's the very one that gave Mary and Joseph their life. And he's the very one that Mary has to put her faith and trust in for salvation. The fact that our God did something so wonderful, listen, that he didn't have to do. But he chose, this was his plan all along, to live the same life that you and I live, and those in the days of Mary and Joseph, even John the Baptist, living that same life, yet living it perfectly, living it with true peace, because he is the Prince of Peace, living it with joy, as he would interact with people and change people's lives and heal people and help people. But the fact that our God would go way out of his way so that you and I and every single person in this world could have life and have it more abundantly. The place was chosen for Christ to be born, and that place was fulfilled because he is the Savior of the world. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And we went over that last night during the Christmas party. We looked at that. We kind of talked about that. But a wonderful thing that his name is Wonderful, because he is wonderful, and he makes every life wonderful. He is the Counselor. He's the one that will never lead you astray. He's the one that always gives you wise counsel. He is the Mighty God. There's nothing he cannot do for us. There's nothing he cannot do. I mean, the heart of a king is even in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he will. There's not a single person that God cannot turn their evil ways. There's not a single person he cannot save. There's not a single person he cannot love. He is the Mighty God. There's no one greater than him. There's no one that can defeat God. Jesus Christ defeated death and hell for every single one of us. And he is the Everlasting Father. He is from eternity past to eternity future. I mean, there's no beginning, no end to him. And obviously, he is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that brings true peace into the heart and soul of every single person that will put their faith and trust in him. And just a reminder, look what the angel told the shepherds in verse number 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Some might wonder, why does it say swaddling clothes? Because the swaddling clothes were simple strips of cloth. Simple strips of cloth that they wrapped baby Jesus in. And that swaddling clothes, those strips of cloth, that was something that they actually used for burials. In fact, it signified why he was born. He was born to die. I mean, already giving the truth and the fact that this is why he was born. And when the wise men come later and they bring their gifts of frankincense and myrrh, those things, those spices that are used in burials, the fact that Jesus was born to die, that was his purpose. Again, every one of us have a purpose to life. No one's born by accident. No one's born by accident. I don't care how a person comes into this world. There's no accidents with God. God's the giver of life. And every single person has a purpose in life, and that purpose is to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. To come to have the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of joy, the gift of peace that only comes through Jesus Christ, and to have even the gift of being in a family where you have a heavenly Father who will always love you no matter what, who will never disown you, where you and I and every other believer are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," speaking of Christ, "likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." The fact that our God did the greatest act, he did the greatest thing by robing himself in human flesh, allowing himself to live that sinless life, not being like the angels, but being like us, living a life that he would lay down willingly for the sin of the world, for the sins of every single man, woman, boy, and girl. But how could one man, someone might ask, how can one man defeat the devil? Because it says in verse 14 that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So how could one man defeat the devil and get victory over death for all people? The answer is found in Colossians 2:9, because he is God. Only God could get that victory. Victory over death, victory over hell, victory over the bondage of the devil. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Jesus was not just an ordinary man. He was just not another prophet, as some supposed he was. Because remember, the Pharisees sent a couple of their disciples to go ask John the Baptist, "Who are you? What do you say of yourself?" And the Bible says that John the Baptist, he confessed and denied not, "I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. I'm just one crying out in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord." John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah upon him, and Jesus testifies of that. But Jesus was sent to testify of Jesus Christ and point people to the true light, Jesus Christ being the light that lights every man that comes into this world, because he is God. Jesus is the creator of this world and every single person. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I know you know this, but just looking at it and giving glory to God for who he is. Again, I feel sorry for those that just believe that Jesus was just another ordinary man. Because if he was just an ordinary man, no lepers were cleansed. No blindness was healed. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years was not made whole. Jairus' daughter of 12 years old, who had died, that Jesus revived again. Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. And Jesus calling out, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead arose and walked alive. If Jesus was just an ordinary man, then none of those things happened. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who showed her the way of salvation and told her, if you continue to drink of this water in the well, you'll continue to thirst. But if you will ask of me for living water, you'll never thirst again. Every single person we read in Scripture, their lives were changed by the power of Christ. If Jesus was just an ordinary man, then God's word is a lie. Those people have lied and their lives weren't changed. In fact, if Jesus Christ is not alive and you profess Christ as your Savior and you profess that Christ has helped you, you're a liar because he's just an ordinary man who did not do any of those things. But the truth is, you know that he's alive. You know your life has been changed. You know there's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a comfort that only he can give. There is joy that only he can give in the midst of sorrow. And there is a relationship with a God in heaven that speaks to you. I was talking to somebody recently. I know all of you have experienced this because you can't help but to experience this when you have a relationship with the God of heaven and the God who has given you your life. The fact that when you read Scripture, there are times when God has a verse or multiple verses catch your attention and you hear the voice of God speaking to you. And if it's a time where you need comfort, you feel this overwhelming comfort comforting your soul. Because you cannot help but to experience that as you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not mysticism, it's not magical, but it is a true relationship with God where God intervenes in your life and God comes to you at different times to comfort you. And we all have those types of testimonies where we know that God and only God helped us. So we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God himself. He was sent into this world. He willingly came so that you and I could have life, have a relationship with God, and experience life like never before. And every single person can experience that relationship with God because God sent his only begotten Son in the world so that we could have the gift of joy. Joy as we live in a very corrupt world. Joy as we go through the storms of life because, again, we have the master of the storm with us. And sometimes he will not calm the storm. Sometimes he'll do like he did with Peter when Peter is sinking beneath the waves and Peter cries out, Lord, save me. And Peter, Jesus Christ, stretches down, lifts Peter up, and they walk back to the boat. I mean, do we want the storms in life to stop? Absolutely. But the greatest thing to have is Jesus Christ walking with you through the storm because it does fill you with comfort and joy knowing that, hey, nothing can happen to me while I'm with Christ that he doesn't allow. And if he allows it, it's for my good and his glory. It's to help me to draw closer to him. It's to help my faith to grow. It is for me to glorify him because he is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. This is exactly what the angels were doing on that night because in Luke chapter 2, and you look, the one angel shows up, but then a heavenly host shows up and they start praising God and glorifying him. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I were created to worship the Lord, to praise him, to glorify him with our life, and to follow him faithfully every day because he is a faithful God to us. When you go back to Luke chapter 2, and you look at verses 13 through 14, again, we see the adoration of the heavenly host in verses 13 through 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What a wonderful thing for those angels to say, because truly peace had come. That peace had come through God's gift, the gift of his only begotten Son, the one who brought peace upon this earth, the one who brings peace into our life and every life that will put their faith and trust in him. It still baffles me that people will still look in all the wrong places for peace. They will go to all the wrong people, hoping that they find peace, and all they ever find is emptiness, because only Jesus Christ can fulfill the peace that every single person truly needs in their life. He fills that void. But the heavenly host, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, the Bible says, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. We truly do worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, these shepherds, they did not just sit around thinking, you know, is this real? Are we having a dream? Notice in verse 15, when the angel and the heavenly host disappear, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds heard and saw marvelous and wonderful things, and they could not contain it. They had to tell somebody. I mean, it did no good to tell Mary and Joseph because they already knew. You weren't going to, you know, surprise Mary. Mary, did you know? This is Christ. This is the Messiah. She would be like, duh. I mean, she, you know, because Gabriel showed up to her. But you know what? They were still excited. Mary was still excited. They didn't know the shepherds were coming. Could you imagine for Mary to have these shepherds coming in and say, you know, this is what the angel told us, and we just came, and we do testify that it's exactly the angel said, we find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I mean, I can imagine the excitement. Well, Pastor, where do you see the excitement in Scripture? It doesn't say that. You can't help but to be excited when God shows you something and you go and you find out it's true. You can't help to be excited that your life has been changed by the gift of God. You can't help to be excited that when God speaks to you and you listen. Listen, there's been so many times where, you know, God has spoken to me and God has given me a direction. God's told me something and I actually obeyed. And it was like, it worked out the way he said. It was like, man, I ought to obey a lot more because it works out every time, he says, because I've got times where I didn't obey that it didn't work out. So I have something to compare and say, you know what? And my way and my wisdom's foolishness. God's way is right. And man, God's always looking to bless. He's always looking to show himself mighty in the lives of his people. I can just imagine the shepherds being so excited. Look at, I don't know what time it is. It's definitely nighttime. Maybe it's midnight. Maybe it's 1 o'clock in the morning. But man, they leave that stable telling everybody. What's all the racket out there? People trying to sleep. Be quiet. No, I got to tell you. Down at the stable, the Messiah is here. I mean, just, and notice what it says. People actually were listening. Because in verse 18, all they that heard it wondered at those things. There was a moving. There was something moving in the air. There was something moving in that town. You know, it's amazing around Christmas time just how some people that are usually grumpy get a little cheery. There's just something, and some people that are cheery get a lot more cheery. Because you know what? There's something about the season. Somebody wants to argue about whether it was December 25th. I don't care what day it was. There's something about the season. There's something about Christ. I can just imagine the excitement of the shepherds. Imagine they go back. Things are not the same for them. Their life has been totally changed. A wonderful message was given to them.
They went and saw Jesus Christ. They went and saw the Savior of the world. They went and saw God wrapped in human flesh. Christmas should never be a time where it's just ordinary for someone whose life has been changed by the gift of God. This season should be a time where we reflect on what God's done for us and how God went out of his way to bring joy into the world, to bring comfort into the lives of people, to change the lives of people, to give them hope, to give them a purpose, to give them love that only God can give. These shepherds, they went and they pursued after Christ once the angels disappeared. And you look, I mean, they say in verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. In Isaiah 49, verse 6, the Bible says, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, he shall choose thee. In John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, the Bible says the same, came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What's the reason for every single person born into this world? It is to come to know their Creator. It is to come and know their Redeemer. It's to come and know their Savior. It's to come and know the one who gave his all so that we could have all. You think about this, Jesus left his throne of glory to come down to a stinky old stable, to be robed in flesh, to live a life, to be rejected by people, so people could have a place in heaven where the streets are gold, where there are many mansions in his Father's house, where there is no sin, there is no death, there is no sorrow, there is no heartbreaks. Everything that we experience in this life that's not good is not there. He came to give life and to give it more abundantly. And with the life that he gives comes the gift of joy. The joy that the God of heaven cared so much for me that he went out of his way so I could be with him. What a wonderful truth that is. A wonderful thing that we should never get over, that the God of heaven loves me that much that he went out of his way so I could be with him and have a relationship with him.